League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Chris Cabin.
Steven Seda.
And we hate movies. Welcome to We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. Thank you for tuning in, as always. If you're new to the program, thank you for checking us out. If you're old and have listened to us for a long time, you'll know that if there's one thing we hate, it's really bad serial killer movies. And today, we're talking about Philip Kaufman's 2004 disaster piece, Twisted.
And it's Philip Kaufman, man.
That's the saddest part. He made the best Body Snatchers
movie. He made the right stuff. He's helped make Indiana goddamn Jones.
It's insane.
Craziness.
It's Twisted is what it is, right, guys?
Oh.
Twisted. Let's get some Twisted teas and talk about Twisted, man.
Thankfully, we are all drinking Twisted tea today, as a matter of fact. We Hate Movies, sponsored by Twisted Tea.
You ever, reach for a beer at a party and it's dark and you start drinking and it's a Twisted Tea and you almost throw up?
You know, it's happened to me more times than I'd like to admit. It's one of the most frustrating things I've ever dealt with in my life.
Because at first your mouth recognizes flat beer. You're like, oh, fuck. And then you're like, wait, no. Iced tea flavor, Twisted Tea.
Yeah. And the only thing worse than the taste of Twisted Tea are the people that get really pumped for Twisted Tea. Like, you'll be having a football party or something like that. Yeah. Someone comes over, hey, man, I got some fucking Twisted Tea. And you're like, come on, Barry.
See, those people exist.
Yeah, they
and
do.
And I've met them, but, like, my favorite ones are the ones who are like, you know, it's not that bad. Like, the guys who tried to reason with you.
The apologists? You're totally right. And that's unfortunate. Just say it tastes like shit and you still like drinking it.
That's fine.
That's fine.
It's absolutely fine.
You'll get those motherfuckers that do the same thing with Smirnoff Ice, man. Yeah, it's really shitty, but in a pinch. It's like, no, it's not in a pinch. Go to the grocery store and buy beer.
And it's not hilarious that you're drinking it either. I'll cut that right off.
Yeah, totally. Take your fucking raspberry fermented nonsense and go home. Oh, so Twisted.
Twisted.
In the vein of, I would say, copycat, this is a copycat-type movie. Yes.
But this is an Ashley Judd movie, and there was a time when there was a genre of film called an Ashley Judd movie.
Oh, absolutely.
In which it's her being in intrigue and kind of sexy situations.
And you usually had, like, a Samuel L. Jackson, like in this movie, or a Morgan Freeman in a couple of other movies.
A sagely black actor.
Exactly.
To offset her whiteness.
Yeah, precisely. And it never works out for anybody.
It really doesn't.
No.
And this is like a powerhouse cast. You got Samuel L. Jackson. You got the handsome John Lovitz, Andy Garcia. Who else he got in this movie? Titus Welliver, and then what's his name, too? Dude from Fatal Beauty, Mark Pellegrino. Which is awesome for a lost nerd like me, because it's Jacob and the Man in Black in the same movie.
And Pellegrino gets a lot of fucking screen time in this movie. Nobody gives him this much.
He's just staring at the camera with his mouth open the whole movie, and then he dies.
Well, somewhere in between those two things, he also tries to rape Ashley Judd three times.
At least three.
It's amazing.
It's so amazing.
Titus Welliver is on some Netflix show where he's wearing a leather
jacket. It's called Bosch.
No, it's not.
It's called Bosch, and it's on Amazon.
Oh, even worse.
And let me reiterate one more time for fans of our Chudmentary, the fucking show and his character are both called Bosch.
And he's probably a hard apple detective, right?
Yeah. He's the hardest of apples. That's how those shows work.
Yep.
You think Bosch is going to be soft?
Oh, man, I would love a Royal Rumble. You get Bosch in there. You get Low Winter Sun. Who else could we throw at this Royal Rumble?
Couple of True Detectives.
Couple of True Detectives. Whatever the hell.
Halt and Catch Fire, maybe.
Get him in.
No, we're talking about hard-nosed detectives.
No one on
programmers.
That
well, that's the thing. There's a that hard-nosed.
Bisexual programmer.
Yeah, well, there's a hard-nosed coder in there.
Okay. I was thinking more in the Rainn Wilson show. What's it called? Blackheart?
No. Crap. Like
Hieronymus Bock?
No.
No, what is it?
Canceled?
Yes.
Is it called Canceled?
Rainn Wilson stars in Canceled. Coming up on Rainn Wilson's Canceled, a preview for Rainn Wilson's new movie, Box Office Poison.
Tank, the movie.
What is that fucking... It's some dumb show where he, again, is a genius detective.
And but he's also surly, Andrew. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, and he makes jokes about lesbians because that's all over the preview.
Oh, man, isn't that just fucking hilarious?
Wonderful.
Well, the idea is they would all get into a ring together and then just drink cyanide and be dead. And then that would be the end of it.
In an empty stadium with just us in there.
And then Sipowicz. Then you just see Sipowicz come up and be like, I told you. And walks away.
I win. Did, What was Jimmy Smits's character's name on that show?
Oh, crap.
Dead?
He died on that show, right?
Yeah, he died.
I think his name is actually Jimmy. It was a Tony Danza situation.
Oh, really?
His name is Jimmy, but I forget what his last name is.
Yeah, I don't know. I had some Jimmy Smits joke in there about dying, but then I just completely forgot what happened to that character on that show. So anyway, the point of the movie, if there is almost a point and it fails, is it's like, oh man, women can be sexually adventurous too. And it's, you know, who are you to say that if a woman sleeps with a bunch of dudes, doesn't make her a slut, doesn't make her a blah, blah, blah. But this movie doesn't do that. And it actually punishes her for it. And
yep.
It's
really strange. Like, that would be a great point to your movie, right? Like, you watch a detective movie, he's always banging all sorts of broads, and like, you know, you're supposed to applaud him, but if it was a woman, you'd think differently. I'm like, ooh, turn that around. No, but then she gets punished the entire film.
And it's like the character is being like, what does this matter? Are you kidding me? And then all the dudes are like, no, are you kidding us? You fucking trollop. Like, and you're just like, it's just endless. It's 96 minutes of endless misogyny in this movie.
That's what I'm wondering is, since it is Philip Kaufman, maybe he made the right movie,
yeah,
and then he was asked to cut it down to the wrong movie. If it's 90, because it is, it's a fleet fucking 90 minutes.
Let me tell you something. I went to rewatch this last night in preparation for today's program, and I had recently just watched it like 3 weeks ago, and I was dreading it. I was so tired from work. I go on Netflix, I was like, oh, a blessed 96 minutes. Wow, you feel every minute, though.
You do.
Every single one of these minutes.
I will say, unlike most male detective movies, she gets roofied no less than 12 times in this movie.
She just keeps getting roofied.
I don't know. Can you buy that stuff in bulk? Because, like...
Well, Samuel L. Jackson is.
Well, that's what I was going to say is, all right, now everybody, do you want to know the end of the movie or do you want to wait till the end of the podcast? But Samuel L. Jackson did it.
Know it now.
Because it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
They totally tell you in the movie.
It's important to know it because nothing makes sense at the end.
Yeah.
Nothing. And a lot of things are like, wait, how does that work if he's doing this? Yeah, he roofies her like 48 times in this movie.
Now, and the thing about the roofying is she is an alcoholic. Like, yes. Her character is what she understands is that her dad was a cop. Mm. Sam Jackson was his partner. One day the dad went insane, killed a bunch of people, and then like killed the mother, his wife, and then himself.
Played in a picture by Ashley Judd.
Yeah, it's Ashley Judd kind of like looking away from the
teary-eyed
camera.
Teary-eyed at a picture of herself.
So she's got some issues, right? Samuel L. Jackson then goes on to raise her.
Sure.
Right? So she's got a drinking problem. She doesn't deal with her demons like most hard-nosed detectives, right?
Sure.
But so my question is, in all these scenes, like she gets home from work, she chugs a tumbler of red wine, and then gets the sways and falls down and passes out. Because we come to find out Sam Jackson's putting roofies. Here's the thing. How is Samuel L. Jackson getting the roofies in these unopened bottles of wine? What is happening?
Well, his schedule makes no sense.
Well, he's also, we should mention, he's like the chief of police.
The commissioner.
Oh, yes.
the commissioner, and this takes place in San Francisco, where, interesting fact, the SFPD is the only police department in the country that doesn't have detectives.
Yeah.
They have inspectors. So it's like you're a cop until you get promoted to inspector, and that's it.
Hmm. That's so much cooler than detective.
It's so badass, dude. They kept saying inspector the entire time. I was like, are we in the UK? What's going on?
The only bet, if somebody ever called me constable, my heart.
Yeah. That's, oh man.
That's the best one.
Let me tell you, idea for a show, Constable Cabin.
You know what, Lansing, Michigan? You want to get some tourism? Change detective rank to constable.
Yep.
Then we've got a little cheery old England vibe in Lansing, Michigan, and it's the only place in America that does it.
Totally. So what were we saying? The roofies, Sam Jackson. Oh, his schedule doesn't
make
sense.
Weird schedule where he's the commissioner. Now, I'm sorry. I know that people think that the guys high up get to kick up their feet quite often.
Sure.
A commissioner's busy.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And he does not have time to be going there what seems like every single day, going into, breaking into her apartment, leasing the thing with roofies, leaving and getting back to work.
He is the
hour out of your day.
He's the busiest, thoroughest serial killer I've seen in a while.
And also, just by the way, if you're okay, so she goes to a couple bars in this in this movie.
A couple of bars.
Okay.
Yeah. A couple of Batman bars.
So you are drinking all the time. You're an alcoholic.
Sure.
And you notice that specifically the drink that always makes you specifically really drunk and tired is red wine.
Right. Yeah. But meanwhile, you're at the bar pounding whiskey.
And you're fine. You're just fine. And then all of a sudden you get home, one glass of not even a glass, a tumbler.
Yeah. Switch to beer. That's all I got
to
say.
Just switch to beer.
Just go on your way home. You go to the bodega and you pick up a six pack and you're like, you know what? I'm not going to have that red wine because that shit makes me sleepy and I wanted to watch The Honeymooners today.
And it seems like every time I wake up after it, another dead person's around me.
Yeah. And I have a roofie hangover every day. That's really shitty.
Like you have to do this booze arithmetic, right? Yeah. Like out all night pounding shots.
Yeah.
Totally fine. Home for 5 minutes, the first sip of red wine, I'm on my face waking up the next morning.
And the roofie hangover, by the way, you're calling out of work the next day. I'm so you're not doing anything else.
She does bad hangover acting in this movie. It's a lot of like her picking up the phone, hello, and she's like rubbing her face.
And
it's
then five
awful.
Minutes later, she's fine.
Yeah, she has a cup of coffee. Yeah, coffee does not negate roofies.
Well, that's just the movies. Everybody in movies recovers from being drunk or hungover really fast.
So we start the movie, rightfully so, with everybody's favorite creepy hyper actor.
Oh,
what's
yeah.
this guy's name?
Oh, it's the he made me fuck her from Seven.
And I did. I fucked her.
I think he's also on Caroline of the City as the character with the roller skates.
That was that guy, and it's Rollerblades.
Oh, yeah, I apologize.
And the father from The Guest.
Yes, he's definitely the father from... Wow, is that the guy from Caroline in the City that was rollerblading all the time?
This is going to take a second, but I'm pretty sure
My wife is in the room shaking her head no at you, Steve, so I think you're wrong in that department.
That's fair.
So he's got a knife up to her throat.
Yeah.
And he's doing his best... I'm gonna fucking kill you. And he's like, that's the first like
it's
opening
like,
line.
It's like either that or like I can smell you. I can hear your heartbeat.
The best one is he's like, I can feel your heart beating. It's like a rabbit trying to get out of a cage.
And I'm just like,
fuck you, man. Yeah, stop this.
Like seriously.
And all you can see is his mouth, but like you're like, oh, it's that guy. You know who it is.
You can hear it. You know. So he's got a knife to her throat, and apparently he's just some run of the mill serial killer. And, you know, she does the old, that's a gun in my pocket, and elbows him in the stomach and headbutts him and saves the day, captures this guy, winds up getting a promotion to inspector because of this. And we have her, like, it's like, all right, dirtbag serial killer, you're going downtown. Cut to Ashley Judd's ass in extreme close-up dancing in this bar to James Brown.
It's just, it's sexy. It's time to get a little sexy in this movie, finally.
And you know who's the James Brown, of course.
You know who's the opposite of sexy? Andy Garcia, who looks like a pile of wet towels in this movie.
Dude, I've been saying he's like a slightly more handsome John Lovitz.
He's exactly that.
Are you still trying to look up this guy's name?
It's too late.
God, the show's over.
I'm gonna call the show later when I get home.
Andrew, edit this in. I found out that guy's name.
And I was totally wrong. I'm gonna get it. Keep going.
I am curious now. I'm calling you out on this. Yeah. What is the process in which you were trying to look up this?
I was trying Wikipedia, and it was a big mistake.
Oh, Jesus. IMDb to Twisted or 7, and you're there. So she's dancing around. She's got this promotion, and everybody's like, hey, Ashley Judd, do the thing.
Oh, my God.
And she does a stupid, like flash the inspector badge, and she's just like, Ashley Judd, inspector. And they're like, fuck yeah! This cop bar's going crazy over this.
They are so thrilled for her, which is really weird because it doesn't make sense with, like, she got this promotion. Like, she probably got this promotion on her own merits, but the commissioner is always hanging out with her and always being like, doing a good job, sweetheart. And it's like, clearly this would be a problem amongst cops.
Well, it's not just you're doing a great job. It's also Sam Jackson coming in, doing the same test like 3 times in this movie. Like,
oh God,
guy down at the end of the bar, tell me everything about him without looking back at him and all this shit. And I'm just like, dude, Sam Jackson, you're really annoying in this movie.
My favorite line, and it's something I've always wanted to say to somebody, and I've never gotten a chance to do it yet.
I'm late and you're wrong.
That one, that's up there. That's in the top tenner. This might be number one. Hold back, boys. You're breathing my air.
Oh, yeah. You're breathing my air, says Sam Jackson.
Man. Nice.
Man.
And also, if you're the police commissioner, I don't think you should be going to cop bars.
No. Again, and like, if you're her, you're like, dude, just this is my moment. Thank you so much.
Seriously, like, no one wants to hang out and get drinks with their boss.
No.
And nobody.
He like gives fucking Mark Pellegrino shit, which everybody should anyway.
Oh, yeah, because he's terrible.
Because he's just staring at Ashley Judd with his mouth open again. And he's like, you want to go home tonight? And she's like, no.
It's such a sad, like, why'd you break up? I miss you and I'm drunk. Oh, no, Mark Pellegrino.
I remember your smell. Oh,
he totally says that too. You know what, fellas? Great way to get back into ladies' good graces. Just tell her you remember her smell. Good tip.
I don't think, I know that like movies will tell you that that's romantic. I don't think anyone ever wants to be commented on their smell. Oh, you smell fantastic.
This Unless, movie doesn't say that.
No, but like other movies, like, oh, like, it's never, unless you're in a current sexual relationship with the person, I don't think you're allowed to bring up scents.
Well, it's not a first date thing, but no. Like, you know, like, we know
but
each other, like, oh, well, that perfume. Well, that's,
oh, that's wonderful,
that's,
sure.
Not, I miss your smell.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't say things like your smell. Yeah, it's like, oh, that, what is that fragrance? That's nice.
Yeah. Get out of here, Wolverine.
You smell fantastic.
That's a lovely stank you have.
So then Sam Jackson like takes her in the back room of this bar and starts giving her shit.
Well, he goes, come into my office.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
And there's a box of cigars for him there, right? He opens it up and starts.
Well, it's his office.
He's got a skunk on his head with this rug that he's sporting in this movie.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's like slightly red, and I think he's got the same glasses he wore in Jurassic Park, too.
Well, because you have to make, and like, I don't know how old Ashley Judd is, and I don't know how old Samuel L. Jackson is.
Yeah.
But I don't believe the age difference they're trying to sell me here.
Samuel Jackson's older than you think.
He's old, like he's in his 50s. I know
that.
No,
he's in his 60s.
Is he?
Yeah, he's.
Oh,
he like marched with Martin Luther King.
Did he really?
Yeah, he was like I believe a pallbearer at somebody's funeral that was important. Like,
oh, that's pretty cool.
He's been around the block, man.
But I don't think it matters in this instance because it's not like she's his biological child. It's just like he was partners with her father, so, you know, he just,
but
like,
that,
raised
to
her.
To me, this is part of why he has the rug, is because they have to have the salt and pepper.
Yeah.
But is there salt and pepper? Because it just looks like orange tainted to me.
No, it's like,
maybe there's something wrong with my TV.
Check your RGB levels,
man. Wait. Were you watching Chairman of the Board?
Oh, you know what? That could be. That's what happens when I watch movies back-to-back like that.
Were you watching Meteor Man? And Edward and James Earl Jones' ridiculous wig in that movie.
There's a lot of ridiculous blonde hair in that movie.
That's why we'll never do Meteor Man, because I won't be able to hold my voice up. Because I'll be going like this, and I'll be dead.
No, we tried to watch that one time for an episode. We found it to be too boring.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, he just kind of gives her shit, and he's like, you know, giving her a test or whatever. And then she goes to sit with Andy Garcia, and, you know, he's like hitting on her, but not really.
And she doesn't know him.
at all.
No. But he knows that they're, you know, she's going to be his new partner.
Sure.
Come the next day when she's got this, you know, in this promotion to inspector. But so she's talking to her old partner, and then, you know, Andy Garcia comes in waving his dong all over the scene, you know, and starts giving this guy shit. And his name is DeMarco in this movie, something DeMarco.
Yeah.
And speaking of our friend Bosch from Chud, they're definitely doing a Bosch thing in this movie where every 4 minutes or so, someone, regardless of whether or not Andy Garcia is in the scene, is saying the name DeMarco, including a couple of amazing deliveries of, hey, fuck you, DeMarco. And I'm just laughing. But like, everybody's saying DeMarco in this movie.
Pellegrino has the best one because he orders him to go get him breakfast.
Yes.
Oh, that's the
that's my favorite one.
He's Andy Garcia's like, oh, hey, patrolman, how about some steak and eggs, well done bacon? He's like, hey, fuck you, DeMarco. And I'm like, yeah, fuck you, Andy Garcia.
I would love to be able to say fuck you to somebody at my job, mean it, but also have no repercussions. Wouldn't that be something?
Oh, my God. The day I had today. It would have been heaven.
So then she's like, all right, party's over. Time for the after party. This is when she goes to her favorite Batman bar.
Now, what do you mean to you know, help the audience a little bit when you say Batman bar?
It's filled full of would-be henchmen. All right? Like, you could go at the... When Two-Face gets out of Arkham, he goes to this bar, and he's like, who wants it? And everyone's like, yeah,
exactly. It's like a hoodlum job fair.
Bunch of clay faces clay guys.
Yeah, exactly. They have like a garbage can where you put your Mr. Freeze parka when he gets canned. You're like, oh, fuck.
The back room's got a bunch of clown makeup so you can work with the Penguin.
Yeah, it's all, or anyone in Gotham, really. You could be a clown in anybody's outfit.
That's
really
true. If you're clowning around as a criminal in Gotham, you're an employable person.
See, I would always think that the Penguin's henchmen would have, like, I don't know, like tuxedo t-shirts.
They do sometimes. Andrew's talking about Danny DeVito's the Penguin. And
that's what I mean. Yes.
The Red Triangle Gang.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's right.
Steve's also wearing a shirt with the Xenomorph from Alien on it right now.
Oh, it's my most loser shirt that I've got. And, you know, speaking of losers, what world is it in which you're at a bar by yourself and all of a sudden Ashley Judd comes up to you like, hey, you want to have anonymous sex? And there's no money changing hands.
Wait, you're saying Ashley Judd has to pay for sex?
No, that this any dude is just sitting, like, because she's fucking a guy with a ponytail later in this movie, and that guy ain't pulling nothing.
Yeah, that dude looks like Kenny G.
Yeah,
he's pretty. It's like if Kenny G bulked up a little bit and became a professional wrestler in the early 90s.
And gave up on life, yes.
Yeah, that's what this guy looks like. Yeah, well, you know, She doesn't care, man. She's not picky. Yeah,
sure.
She's just trying to, you know, fuck the memory of her parents' murder-suicide out of her head.
But, like, every dude that, like, goes to, like, a singles bar is... That's the problem. Every dude who goes to a single bar is expecting Ashley Judd to show up. She ain't showing up.
Yeah.
She is not showing up.
Well, this is a movie.
Sure. So they go back to this dude's place. He's, like, a handsome guy, and they're making out. And then, like... Speaking of Alien, she gets into her hypersleep outfit, which is like this, like, it's like boy shorts and a black tank top. She looks like she's going to sleep.
She kind of looks like Sandra Bullock floating in the little thing.
Yeah, she does.
Oh, yeah, you're totally
it's
right.
That outfit, too. She looks like an astronaut in this scene.
It is a cryo-sleep costume.
It's a sexy astronaut.
Which, where did she, does she have this in a bag or something? Because she's at this dude's apartment.
Now the choking begins, which is pretty weird.
I just picture Philip Kaufman, like, directing this scene. He's like, all right, everybody, and now the choking begins.
No, and get your feet up more, Ashley.
Yeah, and it's just, like, some fighting sex, which is always kind of weird. It's like you're watching The Matrix. Is there fighting sex in that trilogy?
No, I don't think anyone ever gets laid.
No, it's more like Haywire.
Oh, Haywire. Yeah, that's more appropriate.
Why wasn't there ever a Haywire 2? I would have signed up for that.
Because Soderbergh didn't want to do it.
Well, that's fair.
Well, they're making goddamn Magic Mike XXL.
And he's shooting it.
Yeah, but he's not directing
it. Well, no, he's not directing it. But
get some other loser to direct Haywire 2.
I'm pretty sure if he wanted to shoot Haywire 2, he would have gotten in there.
That movie kicks ass.
It does.
Literally and figuratively.
So she, you know, we fade back to her going to her apartment, and there's this weird thing. Like, I guess she's got this concerned elderly Asian lady that every night she comes home and she like kind of nods her head to say, hey, how's it going? I got home okay. And then this woman goes to sleep.
Is that what you took away from this?
I thought she hated her guts.
I just thought it was a weird thing where it was like some creepy old lady who just keeps like getting caught staring at her.
I kind of wanted at the end like that lady to have a sniper rifle and affect the events.
Change the course of history, if you will.
Yeah, possibly.
Also, we should not forget that when she is having like the fighting sex with this dude,
yeah.
You see there's like a shot from outside looking into this dude's apartment.
Yeah.
This dude's butt cheeks are hanging out all over the place.
Sure.
And you hear the flicking of a Zippo lighter.
Oh, God.
Okay, so this is how you know. I mean, when we're in Sam Jackson's office, he opens a Zippo very loudly to light that cigar.
But.
Yeah.
They do throw you a little bit because she's looking at pictures of her father's Zippo.
Oh, so you're... But
that was what I... Because for about 20 minutes of this movie, I was like, well, she did it. And they're just trying to cut around the fact that she did it.
Right, right, right. Well, I mean, this is like from outside looking in and you just hear this Zippo flicking. And also, every time she passes out from the roofie wine... You hear the flicking of this Zippo lighter.
Well, that's the point. I thought that it was like, this is the father taking over.
Yeah, whatever that is. Yeah, like,
oh, man, split personality. Yeah. She's also her dad.
I thought that's where it was going, to be honest. I didn't know it was Sam Jackson.
A sick, like, possession thing where, like, she's held on to his lighter and it's got, like, his essence in it. Mm-hmm. So then, like, every time she uses the lighter to set something on fire, like, he takes over.
She gets the snake hair.
Yeah, all of a sudden her hair turns into a dude parted hair. That would be pretty cool.
The Scolari brothers are in there. Send him to the burner. Give him the chair.
Be quiet.
My second week in a row doing a Ghostbusters 2 impression of that character.
So like she roofies herself, wakes up, and then all of a sudden it's her first day on the job. She goes to the squad room and everyone's like, yeah, it's a lady. And they're all like doing a thing and like whatever else needs to happen in this movie.
Yeah, you know, because they're just trying to make her like one of the guys, right? That's how that works.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they're thinking. That's what that fucking pig Titus Welliver's thinking in this movie. Also, she's seeing the cop shrink played by the great David Strathairn.
Which I, for a little bit, thought he did it because I'm like, why else are you in this movie?
Well, that's the thing is they totally set up. There's one scene where you think it might be him because she's hilariously dropped her cell phone under the car.
Yeah.
And she goes to get it. There's a bunch of rats like hanging out. And she's no like, oh, rats. And then like a dude comes up behind her and she pulls a gun on David Strathairn. Yeah. And he's got like this huge hockey equipment bag. And he's like, hello. Oh, fine night we're having. I'm going to put this gigantic bag in my trunk.
I coach the Pee Wee team. They're 4-0. It's something.
It's unfortunate, the track of David Strathairn. And I think he's one of our greatest working actors.
He's
in that piece of shit Best Exotic Marigold Hotel 2.
Oh, he's was he in the first one?
I don't think so. Oh. No, I didn't see it, but it's clearly set up to be a new character.
Oh, okay.
He's like an American hotel magnate that, you know what? I don't want to talk about
that
movie.
That's fair.
You know what? Here's a movie. Somebody's getting an Oscar out of this one, and I'm happy about it. David Strathairn and Jeff Goldblum play brothers, and one of them's autistic. You can flip that over. Whoever you want to put there. And, you know, they got to do something. They got to open a restaurant.
I think Jeff Goldblum's, like, closer there naturally.
Sure,
so,
yeah, that's a little easier.
I mean, they're too old for it, but that could be, like, a good Sacco and Vanzetti movie.
They're way too old for it.
I just said that!
Like, you would have to let Sacco, like... So it would be an alternate history Sacco and Vanzetti movie where they beat the first murder, live for 30 years, open a pizza parlor, and all of a sudden Sacco and Vanzetti ride again and get mob justice and murdered.
You know what? If you found a way to make Easy Rider 2, you could do Sacco and Vanzetti. The legend continues.
It was a big conspiracy. They were actually government agents.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Oh, see, Steve, it writes itself.
Sacco and Vanzetti as the Men in Black. Like, oh yeah, it was a big cover up to get them to become Men in Black.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's all.
Agent S and V
writes itself. It does. So he's he's got the role of like, you know, I know you don't want to be here. Nothing you tell me is leaving this room. I just got to make sure you're not gun crazy. Because that dude from Seven put a knife to your throat.
Well, she kicks him in the face and breaks his nose, which is a bit too much.
The dude from Seven, not David Strathairn.
Yeah.
Well, she's breaking all kinds of things because she's got that, what's it? The Orca? The Orca? That stick thing?
Oh, whatever that thing is.
The Aura or Aura? Something.
It's like some Tai Chi kind of thing.
Uwara, I think it might be.
By the way, the guy from Seven's name is Leland Orser.
Jesus Christ. We're 30 minutes into this podcast. I think you've been searching for that fucking name
His
for 25
His name is Leland Orser, and he's not the guy from Caroline in the City. Yeah.
Did my Wi-Fi go out? What was happening over there?
I just got distracted with putting on a comedy show.
Fair enough. I'm glad that your focus is here and sure. not on the internet. That's sure. great. Yeah, Leland Orser, great actor.
Sure,
and
yeah.
I'm going to keep saying it. I've been seeing a lot of people on Twitter responding nicely. If you haven't seen it yet, see the guest. Character
right
actor Leland Orser is in it.
Pause the podcast.
Go
come back to it
guest.
Tomorrow morning. Tonight, mm-hmm. you watch the guest.
So we get like the first call. Like it's our first day. There's a body that's washed up next to where the Giants play baseball.
Yeah.
Which is the coolest baseball stadium ever because they got like the kayakers out behind it and stuff. Yeah. It's pretty cool. So there's a dude who's washed up on the rocks there, and they go to check it out, and, you know, they're looking at this body, and they're looking at this body, and then she's like, wait a second. I totally slept with this guy one time.
You're using slept awfully loosely there. Well, she got fucked against a tree.
Oh, that's this guy. Yeah, you're totally right.
That's a weird scene. Like, she's like, no, because she's like, I think I slept with this guy. And there's this weird scene where, they're having sex in the park like it's the 1970s and they're gay men. You know, like...
I thought I was watching Stranger by the Lake for a second.
Exactly.
Well, it's amazing because Andy Garcia, before he was promoted to inspector, he used to be like a boat cop. So he knows all the boat cops and whatever. And he's like, hey, other boat cop, give me the keys. I'm going to take a cop boat out tomorrow. Yeah. And they're like going around the bay. And he's like, you know, we'll follow the tide. He had sand in his jeans. So he was dragged on a beach or whatever. Let's find the nearest beach. And they get there. And like she's looking at this tree. And he's like, wow. You know, this is a pretty open area. You don't think people would try to get away with much around here? And she's like, yeah. And then it's the flashback of this tree sex. And he's like, well, yeah, nothing could have happened here. Let's go. And she's like, yeah, let's get out of here.
Case closed.
So then we have to get the autopsy. And we're getting some DNA samples as well. And
from
this
Cameron Manheim.
Good old Cameron Manheim, who I think might be, and this character would tell you herself.
Sure.
The greatest forensic scientist in the history of cinema. Because 90% of her dialogue is, just give it to me. I'm Lisa, and I'm the fucking best with DNA. And she's just, it's one of those, like, it's like Rodney Dangerfield on The Simpsons. He's like, hey, who am I talking to? Like, she's talking to nobody, just like, Lisa's the best with DNA.
Looking at this blood, it looks pretty obvious.
It's a match. Way to go, Lisa. Hello?
Although, at the end of this movie, she is a fucking cinematic dead end, man. Because it's like a what? Huh? And it comes to nothing.
She places a phone call, and you never know who she called, and that's the last time you see her in the movie.
It's great. So, but yeah, she's just like, oh, she's doing a lot of exposition and like doing... It's a 2004 serial killer movie. You know what she's talking about, right?
Exactly. It's the same thing we were talking about in 1999's Copycat.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
this and that, you got to get a match. This is a partial who's a fudge.
It's going to take 2 days. Ba-ba-ba.
Oh, we're always taking at least a week with this. Yeah. And I never understand that, you know? Like, I think the only time in movies that stuff really ever gets rushed is when Morgan Freeman's like, take that to the lab. And you're like, holy fuck, Morgan Freeman needs this done yesterday. But everybody else is always like, ah, oh, man, 48 hours a week? That's ridiculous.
But also, like, I question that all the time. Like, why don't we have more people working on that? If it's taking a whole week for us to...
Yeah, well, you know, police departments are backlogged with a lot of stuff like that.
What?
Yeah, I know, it's shocking.
No, right? No.
So it's Andy Garcia's like, so you slept with this person. That doesn't mean anything. Like, yeah, that's kind of a, you know, just a coincidence.
Thank you for telling me. He tells, and the funny thing is, immediately he goes to the captain. He's like, hey, you know, she's got something to say. She knew the victim. She slept with him. And instead of immediately taking her off the case, which you would immediately.
Yeah.
Like, you would have to. Like, not she wouldn't be a suspect. It would just be like, they definitely ask her some questions.
Yeah. Right.
Some cursory, complimentary questions.
The way they get around this and arrange for Ashley Judd's character to remain the main character of this film.
Yeah.
Is Sam Jackson steps in and he's like, he says to the chief of this department or whatever, he's like, you know, you can't take her off this case. It's her first homicide as an inspector. This will kill her career.
You know what's killing her career? You, by butting in and just always being like, you know, I kind of raised, she's kind of my daughter.
Highlighting the fact that she's a brown noser?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
well, at the same time, you know, in hindsight, he's the serial killer. Yeah. So he's just saying this
to do his own bidding.
You know, whatever.
But he thinks he's doing her, it's stupid. He thinks he's doing her a favor at some point.
Yeah, which it doesn't make any sense. That's for sure. The motivation in this movie makes no sense. So we have another, she goes home, she has like a sip of Merlot, just falls flat on the floor.
Get yourself a 22, of course, Corona Extra.
40 ounces to freedom, okay? So then she's totally passed out, and then like, apparently Andy Garcia has been calling her all day because she finally picks up this awesome 2004 cell phone, and he's like, oh, where you been all day? I've been trying to get a hold of you. And she wakes up and it's nighttime. Yeah. You're like, wow, that was a bad one. And there's been another murder. And then the whole thing is she realizes this dude too. Now, who is this?
The one at night is the first one.
That's the first one?
Because remember, it's a night game at the Giants Stadium. And they find him on the peat. Remember? Like she...
Yes, but then isn't
the
fighting,
next one isn't
fighting sex guy isn't
I don't
at
think
night?
That's at night.
No matter what, it's
there's another murder. And it's the fight
semantics.
Sex guy.
Yeah, it's the fight sex guy, and there's another calling card. And not only does she know all these people, and it's kind of amazing because every time she's like, "All right, brand new murder. Let me just put my detective hat in." Oh, I slept with that guy. She's always disappointed. Like, it's going to be interesting. Maybe it was his landlord. No, I slept with that guy.
Oh, and you're totally right, Chris, because now I remember this guy's like floating by some docks or something that. Because this is where you get the amazing fuck you DeMarco, which is great. But also, she gets to the scene of the crime with Andy Garcia, and this is one of the scuzziest things he says to her in this movie. She's like, oh man, I totally had too much to drink last night and I passed out. And Andy Garcia just goes, oh, too bad I wasn't there.
Jesus,
like, what? Are you fucking kidding me?
It's weird. It's a weird relationship from the get-go. It's not like they're partners and then there's like an attraction there. He has an attraction and he wants to be her partner.
Yeah, it's been 48 hours you've known this lady.
Yeah.
Dude, like, come on, really?
Like, just a sliver of professionalism, DeMarco.
Look, you have to make up for Titus Welliver doing all of that.
Yeah,
so
totally.
Why don't you just be a little cool about this?
Yeah, exactly. And if something happens maybe 3 to 4 years from now, good for you. let's build up a professional rapport first.
Look at who she's sleeping with. They're all scumbags. You don't think that you can maybe get an in a couple of months?
Well, I mean, if there's anything this character has to know about himself is that he is indeed also a scumbag.
Well, he lives on the docks, Andrew.
He lives in a beat-up shanty on the docks. Everyone's telling him, fuck you, DeMarco, wherever he goes.
And his neighbors, as he says, are the sea lions.
Oh, man. There are no less than 13 cast sea lions in this movie.
Well, that's the thing. Was there a sea lion wrangler going on?
Oh,
there would have to be, right? Because there's just too many.
I've never... been to San Francisco, but the way they portray sea lions in this movie is how, like, we have a problem with rats in New York.
Oh, no, they're just hanging out. You can go to some docks. They're just hanging out.
Everywhere?
Oh, yeah, they're just hanging out.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the thing, actually.
It's way better than subway rats.
The one thing I will give this movie is that Philip Kaufman clearly knew how to portray San Francisco.
The city in this movie is the best part of the movie. Yeah. Like, they're hitting a lot of the nice landmarks and everything, and I only know their landmarks because I saw them all all on an Anthony Bourdain No Reservations.
Yeah, the Red's Java House.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that was on the Food Network once or whatever that program was on.
But also, there's a lot of like really obvious symbolism, like, oh my god, it's foggy everywhere. Like you can't remember anything. Like you were visually roofied.
Yeah, it's like the whole movie's fucking hungover. So I think is what you're supposed to take from this.
So she's like, yep, number two. And he's like, really? And he's just like, yeah.
Well, this is, it's awesome because she doesn't say anything to him about this one first and kind of lets it go. And like, she tells David Strathairn and he's like, well, you definitely have to tell your partner. This is unacceptable police behavior.
You should probably just, you know, quit that force you're on because this is fucking weird. But
and so like they're trying to explain like what they have in the case so far. Is this where she kicks Titus Welliver in the back?
Yeah, yes. Oh, it's cool because she does go up to her superior like, hey, guess what? I kind of slept with this guy. They all go out to lunch with Samuel L. Jackson. And he's like, yeah, she's going to stay on the case. I'm like, whatever movie. And then, like, you know, it's the case part where we all have, like, we're putting pictures on clipboards.
And we got the red yarn. We're making all the connections.
And, you know, he's like, oh, what, is she going to sleep with everybody? He makes some crack. And she fucking kias him in the back.
Dude, there is nothing funnier than someone getting kicked in the back. Because there's just, like, the way your body bends from the middle out. Oh, my God. And he goes down like a sack of potatoes. Fucking great.
And then five people have to get on Titus Welliver to hold him back.
It's so awesome because he's like, okay, you kick me in the back. I'm going to punch a woman in the face. And so then she storms out. And Andy Garcia's like, what's that all about? And she's like, I fucked that dead guy too. And then he has... There's two great things about this reaction. It's Andy Garcia, the character, is like running after her, screaming in this stairwell. But then there's Andy Garcia, the actor, who's desperately trying not to fall down these stairs. And he, like, Ashley Judd's just like walking ahead of him pretty briskly down these stairs. And it's like a slippery old police station marble staircase. And you can see him be like, oh, fuck, 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 fuck. While he's also trying to yell in character. Amazing part of
and
this
movie. And, I
mean,
movie. He gets to flip it back around because everybody's been saying, fuck you, DeMarco, fuck you, DeMarco, fuck you, DeMarco. And he says, fuck you, Shepard.
Yeah. You know, my whole career, people have been saying, fuck you, DeMarco to me. Well, you know what? Fuck you, Shepard.
And last night a sea lion said, fuck you, DeMarco to me.
And the whole thing, too, is this is some serious, some pot calling the kettle black nonsense here because he's like, you know, we're partners. We have to be professional. You have to tell me everything. And don't bring up the fact that I've tried to sleep with you at least two times since we've met. And I totally made a weird rape joke to you in the car earlier.
Which he refers to as our thing.
You. You know what? You.
You know what? We have that thing that we have, right? Where you're just an innocent woman and I just make pretend rape jokes at you.
Make some female friends, you know? Just...
Maybe ask them how they feel. It's like, ask you know for an opinion.
You know what, DeMarco? Do you ever wonder why people keep saying fuck you, DeMarco, all the time? Just record yourself for a day and play it back.
And I get it. Pellegrino is a shit, but like, there are nice people saying fuck you as well.
Do you want to talk about my favorite scene?
Sure.
Which you could put anywhere in this first act. I don't know where it goes. Uh-huh. It's like, they're talking about the case. They go to a nice Mexican restaurant for no reason, and they're just having drinks at the bar.
Well, this is step one of the DeMarco seduction plan.
And he's just like, hey, take a drink. They're drinking, and he's looking at her. And then all of a sudden, Mark Pellegrino is at the entrance. And she's like, oh, fuck, Mark Pellegrino. He's like, what? Oh, you want me to kick his ass? And she's like, no, not really. And he, by the way, my Andy Garcia is Beetlejuice, in case you're wondering. So...
I don't think that he ever calls her babe in this movie.
And she looks. There's this 3-minute interaction without dialogue of Andy Garcia giving nasty looks to Mark Pellegrino and Mark Pellegrino doing the same back to him. It's fantastic. They're just like staring at each other and Ashley Judd doesn't have anything to do. She's just kind of like, whatever.
She's like, don't go up to him or something like that. Yeah. And I think the character, like DeMarco's just like, all right. You didn't say anything about staring at him ruthlessly.
And, like, Mark Pellegrino is kind of looking for an in to join this party. And yeah. It's half dirty look, half that. And then She goes home, and Mark Pellegrino's there. It's one of, like, four times he goes to her apartment unannounced.
Yeah, I think he still has keys, which, you know what, Shepard? Ask for that back.
No, he does not.
Oh, no, wait, you're totally right. Chris Cavan, explain why I was wrong.
He reveals this. She's like, how did you get in here? And he's like, a cute face, like, I picked the lock.
Yeah, he says something about it's like something good detective.
Yeah, and then he holds up the two little things you use to pick a lock, and he's like, I did it.
And I don't understand what those tools are. Just like whenever they show them on like movies or TV, I'm like, is that a broken pair of tweezers? What is happening? But yeah, he's got one of those, and he's like, old habits die hard or something. Let's have sex. You smell wonderful.
And she's just like, please leave. And this is one of the only time he does please leave, right?
Yeah, he...
It takes a while.
Yeah, but he does do it. It gets much worse.
It's so uncomfortable. Like, he's just begging her for sex in her home, which he inserted himself into. And she's like, please get out of here.
And here's why I think your theory about that old lady neighbor is completely off base.
Okay.
Because... three times in this movie, he breaks into this house.
Yeah.
And each time, it escalates. Sure. And none of those times does that lady break out her sniper rifle and put him down.
That's fair.
Or call the police.
Well, that too, you know.
I'm the police.
So she just likes watching. This watching, lady yeah. does.
She's just like, why is she still drinking that red wine? It's clearly Rufy.
That would be great if she comes home and like looks out her kitchen window and the lady's looking back at her. And instead of turning off the light, she's like, don't drink it. Doing the old like hand across the throat. No.
She somehow makes up a hand signal for roofies. It's like, I guess it looks like throwing out trash, kind of.
She bumps into her in the grocery store. She's like, so is Samuel Jackson your roommate? He's in there all the time.
Yeah, when you're not home. And she's like, wait, what?
Is he your royal drink taster?
Are checking you a queen? That shit for poison? Speaking of Sam Jackson, we're treated to brunch at his house in one scene. And this is a weird where he's like, because he raised her.
Sure.
So he's like a little bit fatherly and whatnot, but he tries to like be cool about it. Yeah. But he's clearly this old fashioned prude kind of a guy, yeah. which makes sense, you know, in the whole serial killer scheme sure, of things, yeah. you know, because he's just like, yeah, so you had sex with two of the victims. I don't know what you're doing sleeping around that much or something like that. And you're just like, back off and eat your grapefruit and whatever else is happening on this patio.
Well, the weird thing is, like, for the first, like, 40 minutes of this movie, there's just this idea that she's sleeping with so many men that clearly the sample size of the people killed isn't exactly reflective. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, I don't know, you sleep with that many men, enough of them are going to wind up dead, you know? It's like, well, not really. The next one is the piece of shit defense attorney.
Oh, yeah.
That, oh, my God.
That dude plays a scumbag in a lot of things.
Yes. Only plays scumbags, I think.
Well, because he's defending our friend from Seven.
Yes.
And you know, he's kind of got a case because she put her handcuffs on him and then kicked him in the face and broke his nose.
Yeah, like this is how those dudes get off all the time.
Exactly.
You know, like Fred Krueger got off on a technicality. You
well,
know
and,
what I mean?
And he's, and this also played into my whole like, oh, man, maybe she did it. Well, he's like, she lured me there. She asked me to come out there and do that stuff to her.
Right.
And this guy is defending her. And in the middle of defending him, they're both at the jail cell talking to the guy. He turns to her. He's like, you know, I got a new hot tub. Why don't you come by, even though I'm suing your ass?
Like, it's such horseshit because like he comes into the jail and he's pissed off that she's there talking to him without the attorney present. Yeah. So he's yelling at her about that. And he's like, can I talk to you in private, please? And you think it's going to be like, you stay away from my client, this, that, and the other thing. And she's like, okay. And they go like off in the corner and he's like, so hot tub. Everybody talking about hot tub. And you're just like, wait, what? What is happening? And then it's, yeah, she also dated this gentleman for a fashion.
Yeah.
And so he's like, why don't you come back over and we'll spark that up again? Remember, you smell awfully sweet. Everybody's saying it.
Well, he blackmails her into coming over his house for breakfast. That's what happens. He's like, I got some good shit on you, Shepard. You better come to my house tomorrow morning for breakfast or it's going to be on. So she's like, all right, whatever.
Let's go.
She goes home, blacks out like you do, because you do need to relax with a glass of roofied wine. I mean, how many nights in a row must you do this before you're like, I'm going to get a bottle of vodka?
Maybe you want to try a new brand of wine.
Like, you're a professional, fully functioning alcoholic, okay? Yeah. You know what does it for you. You know what doesn't. You also know how long it takes.
Yep.
Figure it out. I'm saying it again. No one's doing booze math in this movie.
And so she goes over and she's like, he's in the hot tub. And she's like, nice try. And of course, he's beaten to death.
He's beaten to death the same way all these other dudes have been, like, slashed in the face. It's awesome, too, because, like, she's looking around the house. He's not there. She goes out into the backyard, and you see him from behind. He's got his arms up on the tub. And she's like, oh, defense attorney. And she gets closer, and she sees his shirt on the ground. And she's like, oh, he's naked in there. And she picks it up, and it's just covered in blood. And she starts freaking out. So then, yeah, it's just a big old bloody hot tub, which, you know, you don't want a bloody hot tub.
She kind of realizes, okay, it could be me. I could be blacking out. You know what I mean? Well, I'm definitely blacking out. You know, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how I'm spending my nights. She kind of asks a couple people some leading questions. And she goes to Cameron Manheim because Cameron Manheim finds a drop of blood on one of the bodies. And she's like, oh, if I only had another drop of blood from the serial killer, I'd be able to put it together. So she takes her own blood, which she cuts with a fucking finger razor. Oh, man, I wanted to throw up.
A finger razor?
She cuts her finger with a lady shaver on the tip of her finger, and there's just blood everywhere. And
You know what? I thought the same thing. You know what, Shepard? There's better ways to do that.
There is.
Like, that's a cut that's sticking with you for 2 weeks. Yeah.
You just do a little prick. You get a needle to prick yourself somewhere. Then you get a little bit of blood, you're done.
Yep. That's like a stitch.
Yeah. Like, that's a bad wound. And also, I find this problematic. So if you're like quietly concerned that you're a serial killer who's blacking out and Mr. Hiding all over San Francisco, right? And you're trying to secretly ask this medical examiner, you know, if she could test this for you and whatnot. Don't push the evidence across the table with your clearly new Band-Aid on your finger.
Yeah,
don't lead with the bloody finger.
A Flintstones Band-Aid, just covering it all up.
And she's like, I think I have blood from that killer. Why don't you test it and let me know if it matches the blood you have?
I think it might be the Atlanta Falcons.
Exactly.
And this is, I think it's my favorite line. It's my favorite non-hey fuck you DeMarco line in this movie, where like she's like, could you please just test it, like, you know, I need to know if this is the blood of the killer I'm looking for. And she's like, okay, it's gonna take some time. And she's like, no, you don't understand, like, I really need this cleared up. And what Cameron Manheim, her character, as I'm told the best medical examiner in the United States, she goes, okay, well, I guess it could go faster. Maybe if I skipped a couple steps. And I was like, wait a minute. I'm sorry. You're trying to nab a serial killer. And you're saying if I skipped a couple steps?
Don't need to blood type this one. Yeah. Fuck it.
And so she gives it to like some lab assistant. You know, she's like, go do this and that and the other thing. And this is the last we see of Cameron Manheim in this movie, because she picks up the phone and she's like, hi. Yeah, it's Lisa down at the medical examiner's office. Nothing.
But
after
it's very leading. Like, she's got she does the look around, the suspicious, and she's like, puts on the serious tone because she's all like bouncy and fun.
Right.
She's like, we've got a problem. Or something like that. She says, like, we've got a problem.
Yeah. And it's nothing.
And like, that means it was probably Samuel L. Jackson.
Almost certainly Samuel L. Jackson.
So that means Cameron Manheim is in on these murders?
Right. Is that what's going on? Like, Sam Jackson's like, listen, Lisa, I know you're the best. At what you do. I'm going to cut you in on something. Is he, like, paying her? I don't know what's happening.
I think it's just to follow her. Like, he probably sells it as, like, oh, you know, I'm just trying to keep tabs, my protege and
or
such.
Or maybe he's doing it Back to the Future, too. Someday!
Dude! The joke I was just about to make! Oh, yeah!
Someday, as a judge may or may not give you a swab of blood, when that happens, you call me first things first.
And say, we have a problem.
Yeah, and she's like, well, that's weird, police commissioner, but you're the boss.
And, like, when the third act happens, I keep expecting Cameron Manheim to show up, either dead or in on it.
One or the other. Now, here's another thing. So after this happens, she's trying to clear her head. You know, it's been a rough couple of days for Ashley Judd.
Sure, she's been roofied literally every night this week.
I know, right? So, you know, she's noticing a pattern. Like, I keep passing out. I don't know what's going on.
Not going to cut out the... She's, like, looking at all of her schedule. It's like, well, maybe if I... You know what? I'm going to skip the soda after lunch. Yeah. That might be it.
You know what? Getting up at 6 a.m. for that run. Gonna get up at 6 a.m. for that run, not 7 a.m. Fuck it.
So it's like, you know the best way to deal with you just keep randomly passing out? Some nice old-fashioned drinking in the tub. I'm like, come on. And there she is just chugging away, and she's getting a little woozy, and you're like, oh, great. She's just going to drown in the tub now.
Yeah, I thought she was going to Courtney Love herself.
Instead... There's a knock at the door, and she hears a noise or something, and she thinks like someone's in the apartment. And is this? It's another Pellegrino break-in.
This is the second time, which is the better one.
Yeah,
where he like literally tries to rape her, and she knocks him off, beats him up, and gets him away. And he's so pissed off and so frustrated that he slams her CD tower on the way out.
Yeah, if there's any way you want to drive a point home to someone, knock over their stack of CDs.
Oh, yeah, it's 2004.
Also, though, it's important to point out, because this is a really bad continuity error in this movie, when she doesn't just, like, push him away. Like, she knocks him down, and she has, like, that self-defense stick.
Yeah.
And she beats him in the nose with it. She bashes him in the face with this thing and breaks his nose. And what's amazing is he has the audacity to try to turn it on her. Like, how dare you? Yeah. Do you broke my nose? I'm like, dude, you're trying to rape this woman.
Well, your CDs are broken now, too. My nose is broken now. Your CDs are broken.
Try listening to that first Arcade Fire record now.
Ashley, oh, what's
this Mariah Carey's music box broken?
That's more like it.
Yeah.
It's Mariah Carey's music box, Janet Jackson's Velvet Rope.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Although I thought we had ourselves a little bit of a Homeland situation here, because the beginning of this movie is like, ah, San Francisco. And there's like a lone trumpet being played.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the thing, shitty serial killer movie. A lone jazz trumpet does not class up your shitty serial killer movie. Don't try to pull the wool over my eyes with that shit. I'm trying to think of how we get to the third time Mark Pellegrino comes into this house.
I don't even know. It doesn't matter because are
more bodies piling up, or is the lawyer the last?
The lawyer's the next. Yeah, the next to last. Then and like she gets really questioned this time, right?
And yeah, it's like, look, dude, we have to bring you in.
And like the captain is like, really, Sam Jackson? You still want her on this case?
Well, he doesn't want her career ruined. He keeps saying it. And, you know, at another point, Mark Pellegrino comes back in, and this is where things get really crazy.
Oh, wait, no. There's one in between here. At one point, Andy Garcia comes a-knocking.
Oh, no, she goes to his house.
Well, yes.
Where's the part where they're romantically just eating a slab of fish?
That's the... When she goes to his house, that's when they're eating the salmon.
Which I was kind of chuckling because I was like, did you pick that up in your backyard, Andy Garcia? Backyard being the bay you live on?
Well, he pulled it out of his neighbor's mouth. His neighbor, the sea lion.
Well, that's the thing. Look, man, I like R. Kelly as much as the next person. But in the case of you trying to seduce a person whose last three lovers are found dead, there is a problem with a little bump and grind. So just stop it. Don't try to seduce her. She's clearly
I think she comes over his house to, like, they had a fight at work at one point, and, like, you know, I think it's after the stairway scene.
Oh, it might be, yeah.
And she goes to his house, and she's like, how dare you talk to me? He's like, yeah, right. I don't know what I was thinking about. Hey,
come on in, babe.
He goes, hey, you want to do a little bit of work? Which I imagine we're going to, like, sit over, get a couple of beers or some glasses of wine, pour over some files, a little Seven style, let's figure out what the motive is.
Because you want to make sure John Doe doesn't have the upper hand now.
But he's just, then he goes over to make this romantic dinner.
And, okay.
So you're so obviously like trying to do this, right? I mean, there's obvious, yeah. And then there's DeMarco obvious because we got a jazz CD on. He is like thinly slicing off some fish, right? Yeah. And you're like, what's going on? Is he gonna like put that in a pan? Like, what's happening? No. He like crinkles it into a ball and puts it in her mouth, and she's just like, well, I'm new to this promotion. I guess this is what police work is now. Getting fish shoved in my fucking face.
And then he shoves his old fish face in hers, and they make out for a while, and it's gross.
And she's just like, listen, you taste like smoked salmon. This isn't right, you know. And
you smell like a barge, DeMarco.
You smell like seagulls were landing on your back.
No, he must smell like pure shit in this movie.
And it's one of those things, too, where this house looks like absolute garbage. Yeah. It looks like two trailers stapled together. But then you get inside and it's gorgeous. It's like a gorgeous soundstage set that they made inside DeMarco's fucking Hooverville that he's got.
I mean, and then like later in the movie, he goes to Ashley Judd's apartment and like, I think she's already had the wine at this point.
This is the tub part. I just remembered him. Yeah, this is the tub part because he's knocking on the door. She pulls a gun on him when she opens the door, and he's like, oh, I thought I'd come over because I had a feeling. And she's like, what? And he's like, yeah, you know how you keep saying that you feel like people are watching you? Well, yeah, I feel like people are watching me too. Obvious DeMarco.
And like he tries to make out with her again, and she's like, no, and but she's already been roofied.
And there's some weird smelling stuff going on with this too, because he's like, oh, Shepherd, your neck.
Head and shoulder.
Oh, you have bad dandruff, but you're taking care of it.
And she like falls over on her couch in her robe, and her legs are open.
Yep.
And there's a fucking DeMarco craned neck.
It's a real get a good look Costanza as he lights this cigarette. And as we know, the calling card for the serial killer is burning the cigarette onto the top of the hand.
But you know what also this scene accomplishes? Because then she wakes up the next morning and she sees like 12 cigarettes in this ashtray. Because this guy was there for a while.
Just watching and waiting.
Taking a few pictures. Making a few memories.
A couple of DeMarco Polaroids, you think?
Yeah, there's some Andy Garcia hairs in your underwear drawer, ma'am.
And there's also some pairs of something missing from your underwear drawer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There was a classic DeMarco panty raid.
Then she calls up Morgan Freeman, and she's like, I had Andy Garcia in my house, and he was, you know, he's hanging out, and I passed out. He's like, oh, no, you better check your underwear drawer. He's a collector.
Took five of mine.
Oh, no, DeMarco has the upper hand now.
Lost all my hot boxes to him.
So then the thing that really gets her in some hot soup is Mark Pellegrino comes over again.
A third time a knockin'.
And this time, like, she's already taken the roofie culotta for the evening.
Yep.
And she's starting to feel a little woozy, and she's freaking out. And she locks herself in her bedroom. But whoops, the bedroom's got, like, you know, some nice glass doors.
You know what? If I am in this situation and either fucking Mark Pellegrino or Andy Garcia are coming unannounced to my house at all hours, you know what I'm drinking when I get home? Black coffee.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's like fucking Freddy Krueger. Don't go to sleep.
Exactly.
You never know when DeMarco is going to come slinking through the door or licking you through the phone.
Or Pellegrino. Ugh.
With his little needle pickpocket set that he's got. And so he's like punching through the glass.
Because he's not even pretending that I'm trying to rekindle this relationship.
No, this is
I need to get a good rape in.
Yeah, like, this is, we're gonna go to hell tonight. Like, this is what's happening. So he is, like, Jason Voorhees through this door, like, just punching through glass like it's not hurting him. He breaks in, and then when he gets into the room, she passes out.
Yep.
Wakes up the next morning. She's got the bad hangover again, and Pellegrino's just, you know, doing a little bit of the old spooning while holding the little self-defense stick. And she's like, oh, no, it happened with Mark Pellegrino. Turns over, whoops, he's beaten to death.
So it's like, okay, you know what, Sam Jackson? You don't have a leg to stand on at this point. There's a corpse in her bed. She's covered in blood like the fucking Godfather, you know. She's getting arrested.
Godfather 3.
She's getting arrested. And so she's in jail. David Strathairn's pathetically trying to counsel her because he's barely a character in this movie.
How does he not wind up like in on it or dead? Like
he has to. That's what this movie's missing. You could have taken another 5 minutes. This movie would have cracked 100 minutes. There's a scene where David Strathairn finds out that it's Samuel L. Jackson, yep. You know, and it's one of those things where as the audience, we don't know, but you know, he's like, I know what's going on. You know, he confronts whoever, you don't see who it is, and this person like shoots him in the head or something.
Yeah, or like, you know, maybe Sam Jackson goes over his house and he gets LA confidentialed by him, you know, like he's trying to make a lunch and then like, oops, I get shot in the head in my own house. Fuck.
Totally.
Very hush hush.
So Sam Jackson like bails her out and he's like, okay, Shepard, now's your chance to solve this case. You know it's not you. Let's do this. Let's do some good old-fashioned inspector work together. And it's just a lot of him like driving around asking questions. It's more of this test bullshit.
Can we take a little interlude to think about Danny DeVito getting beaten the shit out of by Russell Crowe in that chair?
Oh, man.
L.A. Confidential. That's just like a little We Hate Movies interlude.
Yeah. It's just so nice. It's sad at the same time.
It's just the meanest thing ever on cinema. Because he is just a hulking Aussie, and he's beating the shit out of this little Brooklyn man.
There's just nothing he can do about it.
There is.
Like, if Russell Crowe came for one of us, I feel it would be the same thing.
Oh, it would be worse.
There's nothing you can do, mm-hmm. You know?
I mean, it's so much that you can't overpower James I've been around since time Cromwell.
Oh, yeah. No.
He's the one who finishes off. Crowe doesn't even have anything to do with that.
You know what I thought about the other day? How stupid it is that he's in the Oliver Stone W movie mm-hmm. playing Herbert Walker.
Yep.
And he's just doing James Cromwell.
Yeah. Like,
you couldn't figure anything else out. Like, everybody else is playing a cartoon character in that movie.
Yeah, it's a Saturday Night Live sketch. So yeah, let's just, like, do it.
Why, just come on. I mean, I know you're a dignified actor, James Cromwell.
Yeah. Yep. Hire Danny DeVito.
And Danny DeVito as George Herbert Walker Bush. Hey, my son's a real egghead. Uh-oh, I bombed Kuwait.
Sure. I'm into it.
If we're going to do it.
It would make that movie better.
Oh, my God.
He goes, read my lips. And then the black penguin juice starts coming out of it.
No, he vomits that stuff on the guy's lap.
Oh, him. Whatever that dignitary was, I forget.
So, you know, this is like the last part of our movie here. We're driving around trying to solve the case. And what happens is the movie, you know, Sam Jackson's, you know, he's the invisible hand here. Yeah. He's guiding everything. We start to put together before we get our twist that it's him.
Our twisted.
Right. Before the movie gets twisted, before it's twisted, our answer seems to be that it is, in fact, DeMarco himself is the murderer. So we're back to DeMarco's Hooverville for one final showdown here. And, you know, it's like, there's like a three-way roofing scene here that happens.
Well, because we go to DeMarco's swamp shack, and they're like, hey, wake up, DeMarco. He's like, what?
Quit wrestling that sea lion. Get over here.
She's like, oh, you didn't visit me in jail. What are you talking about? I visited like 9 times.
He does the old, you didn't get my phone call, or like, you didn't get my message or whatever. And Sam Jackson is like orchestrating this parlor scene.
You realize very quickly that he's wearing gloves the whole time. You're like, oh, interesting.
Right. And so it's like, oh, how about we have some wine, DeMarco? And you're like, okay.
And DeMarco, what are your famous fish salads? Why don't you feed me fish, DeMarco, you piece of shit?
Oh, what do we have here, DeMarco? Some roofies, huh? And then he somehow knows that DeMarco's wife, like, died of a roofie overdose or something.
Wait,
like that.
What?
Yeah, that's something that is...
There's some weird thing.
It's thrown off, like, just nothing. He's like, oh, look, is this your stash? Is this part of the same stash that killed your wife? And then Andy Garcia's like, hey, fuck you, DeMarco. Oh, no, wait, that's for me. No, fuck you, Samuel L. Jackson.
Hey, fuck you, DeMarco.
Shut up out there.
Art, DeMarco.
Shut up, Jerry. fucking neighbor's always telling me fuck you, DeMarco.
Yeah, I missed that his wife died of a roofie over
there. I don't know if it's maybe a wife or a girlfriend, but it's when
somebody.
He pulls the packet of Rohypnol out of a drawer, and he's like, oh, your stash, DeMarco? Is this what killed your old lady? And he gets upset about it for like two. It's like he's almost like, hey,
never mind, you're right.
Well, the best part is like, all right, let's toast. He pours three glasses of wine. He's like, let's toast. Is her name Julie in this movie? I want to think it's.
Something. We're going to toast to Shepard.
Shepard's like, well, I don't want to. And he's like, why not? It's like this great scene about like, well, why won't you toast her? She's your partner. And Ashley Judd figures it out. And, you know, there's a big scuffle. DeMarco does get roofied at this point.
Oh, he does. Yeah. Andy Garcia totally passes out from the roofies, like, in a chair. And then Sam Jackson starts, like, setting a crime scene. And that's when Ashley Judd puts it together. Yeah. Because he very foolishly is staging the crime scene the exact same way. It turns out he staged the supposed murder-suicide of her father and mother. Putting, like, an ashtray in a certain place on the table. The gun and the badge on the table, whatever.
Washing the glasses a very specific way.
Yeah, and, so, like, she figures it out and everything.
Now we have our parlor scene where he's talking to her about, like, he says that, you know, he's like, oh, I loved your mother and blah, blah, blah. And she was sleeping with all this hippie scum.
Oh, yeah. It's like the second time in this movie you get the feeling or you get information that he's this total prude person. He's like, she was just sleeping around with all that hippie scum. And it's something about, like, I think the motivation was somewhere in there. Like, he also loved her.
Oh, yeah.
Was a thing, right?
Yeah, he slept with her. And, like, but he also, like, really respected his partner. And he's like, and I had to tell my partner because he needed to know about it. And then I had to put him out of his misery, too. And it's like, you're making an awful lot of assumptions about somebody else's relationship.
Exactly. And so it's going on and on and on. And I realized something. This is the only time I feel in the history of cinema where someone is conducting a parlor scene and just gently, quietly, like a soft summer breeze through your window, you just get, because these little sea lions are just out there barking while he's like, fucking hippie scum, and yeah, I killed your father. It's, art.
I mean, that's DeMarco security system.
At some point, by the way, Andy Garcia, like, wakes up and hops off this chair and jumps down.
Because he's got a great tolerance to roofies for some reason. Well, he's lived through it, I guess.
This is like the Nick Nolte thing of, like, Nick Nolte, did you know that you were arrested being high on GHB? Well, what's that? It's known as the date rape drug. Oh, I think that's kind of a little bit of a misnomer. I've used it for years, and while nobody's ever tried to rape me, 1992 sexiest man of the year, Nick fucking Nolte. That was the thing that he actually said.
How the fuck else are you going to fall asleep after Selma the Prince of Tide?
That was the thing he actually said, when asked about that. Yeah. I've taken it several times, and no one's ever tried to rape me.
That you Nick know Nolte. Of, by the way, Nick Nolte.
Yeah, I don't know. Were you hanging out with DeMarco at all?
And the best thing, the funniest thing is, as they're introducing roofies in the third act, he's like, oh, it's Rohypnol. Roofies? The date rape drug. And then somebody else goes, Rohypnol. And somebody else goes, roofies? The date rape drug. Like three times. Exactly.
Thanks, Jerry.
It's just, like, they have to keep saying it in that order. Like, maybe they switch. Roofies. Oh, you mean Rohypnol? Yes, the date rape drug. The date rape drug. Oh, you mean Rohypnol? Yes, roofies. It's just like, I get it.
Yeah, no, I think if you're doing, like, a word count, it's, like, DeMarco and then roofies right under it as far as, like, words used the most times in this screenplay. What I also wanted to have happen, it totally doesn't, is so Andy Garcia he jumps out of his shanty shack or whatever and falls into the water around all these sea lions. Yeah. And I was like, this is kind of like the Penguin. Yeah. Like he's injured. He falls into the water, you know, like
a cool drink.
Yeah. I'm getting saved by all these sea lions. I'm going to become the Sea Lion Man. And then it's like a completely different movie.
Oh man, that's a great idea.
Right. Where it's like he once was a cop, but then a certain cocktail forced him to become
the sea lion. And he's like taking San Francisco's crime scene by storm.
And the sea lions are pushing him to shore.
Yeah.
They're all pallbearers for him.
Dude, that fucking penguin funeral in Batman Returns is one of the saddest things you'll ever see.
It is.
They're just sadly dragging him into the water. Their father or something.
All those little poor animatronic penguins.
And their weird uncle just died.
Yeah. Man, you know Tim Burton's got an animatronic penguin in his house, right?
Oh, I'd keep him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's got to be the one with the rocket launcher, right? That's the one you keep. You don't want one of the regular old funeral penguins.
Well, does he have the duckmobile? That's the one I would have kept.
Oh, I'm keeping it. I'm putting that shit in my pool.
Yeah.
That's staying in my pool. I'm going to ride it at least twice a week. Mm-hmm. Since 1992.
Well, that's the thing, is the only place where you could actually ride it down the street is Miami.
I wasn't invited, so I crashed. Tim Burton going to Helena Bonham Carter's party in the duckmobile.
Oh, man. So then at some point, like, Ashley Judd makes her way down to the docks.
We're on the dock, and we're just going to rip off the end of The Negotiator beat for beat, which stars Samuel L. fucking Jackson.
Oh, wow. I didn't think of this. Yeah. I haven't seen that movie in ages, but you're totally right.
Because she disappears for a while. She comes back. She's got her gun, and clearly in her, she's doing like the cop thing where you cross your hands.
Yeah.
In one hand, she's got the gun, and in the other, she has this enormous 2004 cell phone. I mean,
yes.
This thing is gigantic, and you cannot miss it.
It puts Zach Morris to shame.
And she's just like, "Why'd you do it, Sam Jackson?" He's like, "Well," and he goes through the whole thing.
It's another parlor scene. It's parlor scene two on the docks. You know, and again, it's like, I did it because hippies come and, you know, and it's the same scene, except this time she's placed a little phone call.
Because he's like, but you'll never pin it on me because I'm the commissioner. And then like somebody comes in on his radio and is like, we heard you, commish, and it's you, and we're coming to get you.
It's her old patrol partner, the one nice guy.
The one nice guy in San Francisco.
In the whole city. In this movie, the one nice guy.
The only guy who doesn't sexually harass everybody.
And I think it's not a thing where it's a radio. That's supposed to be him talking on the cell phone.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's just like, yeah, we were here the whole time. Listen. And then you're like, what? Cut to this cop in a bar the rest of the police department around him, like running out the door, like, let's go get the commissioner. He's the bad guy. And I was like, what, was everybody off duty when this got set up?
Right.
And at what point did she set this up?
All right, everybody, finish him up. Finish him up. Finish him up. Finish him up. We gotta go get Sam Jackson. Oh, finish him up.
Oh, I just ordered this. Well, chug it, Jerry. We gotta go.
It's nope. Just a Tecate. Come on.
Take it in the car.
No road sodas. We gotta put this guy away.
What, am I gonna get arrested?
Everyone laughs. Yeah. All this whole bar full of drunk cops.
Classic cop comedy.
And, like, it's exactly the end of The Negotiator. It's just that. And is it John Spencer in that movie who gets it at the end? Oh, no, it's Rod Rifkin. He does the same fucking thing where he's like, I'm going to tell everyone my story and everything's going to. Oh, no, I was on the cell phone the whole time. Modern technology.
There's an awesome thing where when everybody finally gets to the docks, because then, of course, like, he puts a gun to his head and he's like, oh, try to figure this out, Shepard, or whatever. But then he's going to kill Andy Garcia and she just shoots him in the chest and he falls into the water.
Yeah.
Again, becoming the sea lion also, possibly.
Yeah, because the sea lions all like flutter around
There's
him.
Definitely a sea lion that floats under Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, man. Samuel L. Jackson grows huge whiskers.
Yes.
Or he just gets chomped on and pulled to the bottom of the bay. But I would accept either ending.
Both of these movies better than Kevin Smith's Tusk. Just throw that
out. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. Yeah. We disagree on that movie, but oh, yeah, absolutely. 1,000 times, yes. But what's awesome is, like, after he gets shot, then all the drunk cops roll up. And it's awesome because a couple of the cops come down, like, onto the dock, but there's, like, a line of 20 guys, like, uniformed police officers just looking down, like, so our boss just got murdered, huh? We get a day off out of this or anything? What's going on? There's just all these like looky-loos.
And like Andy Garcia is fighting roofies. He's like, what?
He's really struggling through the sleep here. He's having a real sleep attack.
And the stupidest, most condescending thing that happens at the end of this movie, she's the hero. She's the goddamn hero cop, right?
Yes.
She's wearing a leather jacket, too.
Oh, yeah. And the whole movie.
Titus Welliver comes out and puts his coat around her. He's like, pretty cold on these docks. And she's like, thanks. It's like, no!
No, dude.
That's fucking patronizing.
Steve, it's even worse. What happens, what he said, he does the jacket thing, and he goes, nice work, kid.
Does he really?
Yeah, he calls her kid! I'm like, you're tops 5 years older than she is.
And she's wearing a jacket already. That's the part that gets me.
And it's San Francisco. How fucking cold can it be?
Well, I don't know. You're down by that bay, dude.
Oh, I don't know about
all those sea lions with their notoriously cold breath.
Sure.
The cold stench of death from Samuel L. Jackson still all over the place.
I'd be like, dude, I'm wearing a little... Oh, this is too much.
Yeah, now I'm just uncomfortable. You know what? I was fine with everything. I was fine with holding my roofied partner. I was fine with murdering my father figure slash boss slash police commissioner. But now this second jacket has just made me completely uncomfortable.
Am I going to have to kick you in the back again? Yes. Did you not get it the first time? Don't condescend to me, shit.
Dude, a kick to the back... followed by falling into a bay, followed by getting eaten by sea lions. Yeah. Yeah. That should have been the fate of Titus Welliver's character.
Jerry, also, don't play around.
Jerry the sea lion. Also, this is when she has to stand up, take the jacket off, and be like, no, fuck you, dude. Back kick.
Yeah.
Or something.
I solved the case, and you did jack damn shit.
And then nothing.
This is one of those, like, oh, the movie's over? Because, A, I'm still waiting for Cameron Manheim to come out and be like, I loved him, or something.
That was my final note, is who did she call and why? Why would you just leave that? End it on, I'm skipping a few steps with this DNA test. Get that to the lab.
Yep.
Cut out that phone call.
And nobody even calls her back to find out if, well, whose blood it was.
Or it's not like... Sam Jackson's ever like, oh, I got a call from Lisa, world's greatest medical examiner. Anything like that.
Oh, she's gone.
Just nothing. Oh, hachi machi.
And then they kiss at the end of this movie? Am I making that up? No. Like, cause
I
Garcia's
don't
like,
think so.
He's fighting against the roofies valiantly. And then he's like, you did good, kid. Or so, he did something like that. Or just like, it's nice out here. It's some line.
I think that is how the movie ends. Boy, it's nice out here.
She gives him like a warm smile in the movie.
It's something. It should end with someone screaming, fuck you, DeMarco, is what has to happen. Or why don't we get something about like 6 months later, the dude from the beginning of the movie, like the trial verdict comes down. This dude's getting the chair, something. Her new partner's a sea lion, something.
This is how you get your fuck you DeMarco. This is exactly how you get your fuck you DeMarco.
Oh, I can't
wait. Titus Welliver tries to put the coat over, and he's like, oh, maybe we can go out sometime, you know, me and you, just a fit. And then DeMarco comes up, and he's just like, no thanks. And he just like pulls her away, and then Titus Welliver is just stunted there. And he just says, oh, fuck you, DeMarco. And then credits.
Oh, yeah. Yep, that's how you do it. Yeah, I don't remember what the line... It's something about, like, you're going to be okay. You're doing great. And he's like, yeah, I am eating raw fish in my fucking shanty. Whatever, Twisted. Would anybody recommend this movie?
It's fun enough for 96 minutes. It's, you know, you could do a lot worse, I think. You couldn't do a lot better, but... Or no, actually, you could do a ton better. I
mean. Oh yeah,
but it's a stupid fun-ish movie.
Yeah, it's like a TBSer, like in the
TBSer. Yeah,
you turn on TBS, you got nothing to do that day, and 96 minutes ain't that long. So yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this does deliciously fall into a nice like hangover, cloudy, rainy Sunday kind of movie.
Yeah, I mean,
movie.
If you just happen to accidentally roofie yourself in your own home,
yeah.
And then the next morning, you got one of those vicious roofie hangovers. Maybe you'll put on some Twisted.
I don't think I've ever seen another movie where roofies are used as like this much of a plot point. Like,
yep.
It's crazy. Yeah, I mean, I would recommend this movie. And I would say this, though, Chris. You can't watch it on TBS because you're not getting any of the great fuck you DeMarcos out of
true.
It.
Yeah, that's the price of admission.
Well, what are you? What, so, what the buck you, DeMarco, or like step off, DeMarco?
Probably step off, DeMarco.
Yeah, which is just fine enough for me. I
they'd
mean, like,
find a way to weasel that in.
Shut up, DeMarco.
Yeah, stuff like that.
I mean, there's really nothing better than the delivery from Mark Pellegrino to Andy Garcia.
Yep. Oh yeah.
The handsome John Lovitz. Oh man, I was gonna say something else about. Oh. Because I was comparing it to this movie. What is a better movie, this or Copycat?
Copycat's a way better movie.
Copycat's a better movie, yeah.
Okay, three-way agree with that, too. All right, that's... I was waiting for someone to say Twisted.
No, but even Copycat, you've got Sigourney Weaver, at least.
Yeah.
Much better actress than Ashley Judd.
And also, it's two women really holding the movie together versus one woman being condescended to every man.
At every turn.
You know what I wish happened in the middle of this movie for no reason, like Copycat? An Asian gang just kills Andy Garcia.
Just like her partner in Copycat?
Yep, yeah, has nothing to do with the movie, doesn't come back for any reason.
I think that's what might have happened to Cameron Mannheim.
Oh, no.
She's feeding the sea lions, and then all of a sudden, hey, Oswald!
Yeah, I don't know. Like the Yakuza bust down the door of the office, and they're like, nobody, and we mean nobody, skips a step when it comes to DNA investigation and just murders her. That's what you get for skipping steps.
Oh no, who she was calling was her Japanese bookie, and it was like,
we got a problem. I'm not gonna cover the spread.
Just nothing.
That's Twisted from 2004, directed by legendary director Philip Kaufman. Oh, man. If you want to get a hold of us, check out more We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network, sideshownetwork.tv, or go to our website, whmpodcast.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We are at WHMPodcast. Right into the mailbag. We do a mailbag show every month. If you want to get your wacky story read on the air, write in weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Rate and review wherever you get our fine program. We would greatly appreciate it. Clue for next week's episode, Chris Cabin. He's thinking about it.
Liam Neeson
is the clue for next week's episode. I'm gonna say this before we sign off. I'm gonna do a little bit of a personal professional plug here to our New York metro area listeners. I've got a great thing coming up at the Jacob Burns Film Center for all our film fanatics out there. The great director Bong Joon-ho from Korea is doing a residency at the Burns right now. We just had a screening of his film Memories of Murder, but we also have screenings coming up of The Host, of Mother, and Snowpiercer, and he is in attendance at all of these things. He's staying at the Burns, working on his new screenplay that he's getting ready to shoot in New York. So this is like a real, you know, once in a blue moon opportunity to come and see like a totally kick-ass director. Visit burnsfilmcenter.org for ticket information. I just wanted to put a plug out there because it's a super cool, rare thing that we're doing. It's a lot of fun.
I
cannot wait for this thing to go down. We're recording it before it happens, but it's going to be a lot of fun. So burnsfilmcenter.org, check that out. And then next week, we are going to be dealing with Liam Neeson in one way or another. So until we figure out what's going on there, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Chris Gabb.
Steven Tanner.
Take it easy.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there. League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.